get going with the Happy Valley, 98.7 The Fox.
And we're off and running. It is a Wild Wednesday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's your old pals, Jeff Byers. You can call me Ironhead, and Scott Giese. You can call him Scott.
Keep it clean.
At 814-954-7266 is how you could reach either or, you know, well, both of us. We're going to, you know, both
well,
hang
we're
around
both here,
the
yeah.
entire show. Although, I will not be here Friday.
What?
I will not be here next week.
What?
I've got places to go, people to see, things to do. Too busy for you people. Sorry about that. No, we're heading out very, very excited. The family heading out to Yellowstone. We have never been to America's first national park. We're heading out there on Friday, staying there till Wednesday, and then I have a working vacation. I'll be slaving away down in Florida, and the family will tag along. Oh, working very, very hard. Emceeing an event, co-emceeing an event that I'm very fortunate to be involved with, Champions for a Cause, and a bunch of athletes and, you know, me will be hanging out down in Florida raising a lot of money for a couple of great causes down there. And so we'll be down in Florida, Sanibel Island, from Wednesday through Sunday. So I'll be back a week from Monday. Try, very much looking forward to
it. Try not to pull a muscle or something.
Although it is going to be interesting. The differential in temperatures.
I was going to ask.
And overall weather conditions.
All right. We were going to talk a little weather, obviously. I was going to ask, have you checked, now, Yellowstone, this is Wyoming, right?
Correct.
Have you checked the weather for Wyoming?
We have. My wife has been very diligent in checking. I'm like, well, it's going to be kind of what it is. Weather tends to change. We went from pretty promising to bordering disastrous, and now it's like, no, it's back to, it's going to be chilly, especially at night. It's going to be cold at night. But during the day, actually, I think now we're back to looking at temperatures in the 50s, which, yeah, we're
good.
Fine with.
Yeah.
And we're heading there, obviously, before the travel season really begins in earnest in Yellowstone. We'll see what we see, but supposedly the time we're going here is a great time to see the wildlife.
Good.
It is, you know, good. Everything's just kind of the very early stages of spring out there, and so yeah, we're excited about it. We're looking forward to it. Have some hikes tentatively planned, general areas we want to go. We have a couple of group tours that we signed up for because I didn't want to get all the way out there and then come back. And it's like, man, we never did that. Everybody does that. So we'll do one of the Grand Tetons and one of Yellowstone, and then we have a couple of days, well, really 2.5, to just explore on our own. So looking forward to that, and then heading down to Florida, where at least one of the days the high is supposed to be in the 90s. So we will go from, I think at least the one evening, it's supposed to be 16 degrees in Jackson Hole, which is where we're staying at. Out in Wyoming, to a high of 90, or 91, I think it is, on one of the days, in Sanibel. So, packing is a little bit of a challenge, trying to make sure we are properly prepared for both, getting the sunscreen put away for second half of the trip, but it will all be fun. Very much looking forward to that.
I feel for you.
Oh, I know. I know. It's
really
not easy being me, but I'm willing to.
So, folks, here's the
deal.
Somebody
has to do it.
Yours truly is going to be doing the show alone.
Solo.
6 days. Now, he doesn't know. I have a great list of guests.
What?
Scheduled for next week.
Oh.
Well, tough beans on you. You decide to go to the mountain.
Be here for any of it.
And
I
the
see
beach, or in the mountains and the beach,
that's
or
exactly
whatever it is.
Right.
Holy fright. It's like, can you cram enough into about a week and a half? No, I'm seriously jealous. Send pictures.
Yeah, we are.
Sanibel, okay, nice. No, don't care. Yellowstone, that bucket list. I would like to make that trip.
Yeah,
that would be a lot of fun.
Super pumped.
Blast.
That.
So,
yep.
Yes, weather. Enjoy the weather yesterday or today. Now, the good news, if somehow you're not paying attention to weather, today is a one off. All right. Yeah, it's cold. It's windy. Then starting tomorrow, whoop, up it goes just for when what's-his-name decides to hit the road. All right. We got some warm weather coming up. We just have to tough it out today. Although I'm at home yesterday afternoon. I'm working away, and boom, in comes the big wind, which hit us hard once again. I'm like, uh-oh. And I go to the West Penn Power website. In fact, let me get an update here. The West Penn Power website, where they have the page with power outages, and it looked like, I'm not joking about measles in this case, but it looked like measles all over Pennsylvania, and especially all over our area. Especially, for whatever reason, the greater State College area got hammered yesterday. Now, the good news today, I'm looking at the updated map, and by the way, you can look this up. Go to, you know, do a web search for West Penn Power, find the outages link. You have to put in your zip code, and a map pops up, and it shows you where all of the current outages are. Right now, for the greater State College area, it says 4. There's only 4 outages left. Yesterday, there was way more than 4. All right, there was a ton. North of Bellefonte, there's about 10. Down toward Lewistown, there's around 8 to 10. But, I mean, this is way, 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 way better than it was yesterday. So, once again, we need to do sort of a salute to the, you know, power folks. Because when was that? 3 weeks ago now? When we had the last big blow and some people had no power for days. You know who you are. This time around, it shouldn't be nearly as bad. Hopefully. All right. So, you know, if somehow you are one of those affected, you know, keep checking that West Penn Power map, and hopefully your power will be back on here sometime soon. All right. Now, we do have a little open line time. We do have some guests coming in later on, which I'm looking forward to this conversation. We're going to have two guests from the Page Center at Penn State. Now, that's affiliated with the College of Communications, Belisario College of Communications. They're doing a special event next week about trust in media, which as soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, there's something we talk about frequently. And actually, I've got one of the questions I'm going to ask them. I thought this was an event just for students. First off, it's an online event next week. I thought it was just for students. Maybe it really is for anybody. Anybody will be able to, like, sign up and tune in and that sort of thing. We'll let our guests tell us that. But when I saw this, I'm like, Page Center. What's the Page Center? I didn't even know what it was. Never heard of it. I was embarrassed. So we're going to have our guests coming in who essentially run the Page Center. We're going to talk about the center, talk about this event next week. Now, they're not the so-called experts that are going to be part of the event next week. They have outside people that are going to be talking about the issue of trust in media. But we'll talk about trust in media a little bit with our guests. That'll be coming up at around 9 o'clock. All right, let's see. We do have some open line time if you want to chime in quick right now. 814-954-7266. All right, let's get some quick updates. All right, State College High School, apparently, you know, hopefully you know the news story. You know what has transpired over the last several days. Yesterday apparently was a lot smoother than Tuesday or Monday. Because they had to get metal detectors, more police, you know, they got to check everybody and so on. On Monday, they were an hour behind schedule just getting people in the building. So apparently yesterday they brought in more metal detectors from, I don't know, someplace, Penn State, someplace, and maybe more police for all I know. Yesterday apparently went a lot more smoothly. They were only behind by about 15 minutes. Good for them, all right? That's good. They're going to keep doing it today. They're going to keep doing it tomorrow. Friday, Good Friday, no school on Friday. They're going to keep doing it on Monday. And I'm assuming maybe over the weekend or Monday, the official people will get together to decide, okay, we're going to keep doing this or have we done enough? Again, this incident was alleged to be taking place this Monday, the 21st, if this, we'll call him a bad guy, if this bad guy actually tried to do this, it was supposed to be on Monday, the 21st. So they're going to do it at least through Monday, and then they'll see if it keeps on going. I read one, I guess, a release from the school district. Everybody essentially is, you know, pulling together for this rather ridiculous situation. They thanked a whole pile of people. Bus drivers, counselors, teachers, custodians, secretaries, security, local police, they thanked a pile of people for coming in this week to help them get through this situation. So it's going to be at least through Monday, and then we'll see what happens. All right? Still nothing at your little guy's school, right? Nothing over
Correct.
There. All right, which is good. All right, nothing at any of the other schools. Okay. All right, the governor's mansion arson. I mean, if you've watched news at all, you've seen this guy who did this. And he admits it. It's me. I did it. This guy, does he have mental health issues? He claims he doesn't. Other people claim he does. Was he on meds? Apparently he wasn't. One story yesterday said he was out on bail for some other incident. And you're listening like, oh boy, okay. Then we get some news. This is from, I'm not familiar with this outlet. It's called The Berg. Now, it's down in Harrisburg. I'm assuming this is an online outlet. They did apparently an interview with the fire chief down there. Apparently, the governor's residence, which is this really nice big house, apparently the governor's residence had fire alarms, but no sprinkler system. Oops. Okay. And according to the story, it's going to cost millions of dollars to rebuild the mansion. Now, part of the mansion is fine. The part that the governor and his family were in on, Sunday morning, is as far as I know, that part of the mansion is okay. I drove past this a couple days ago, and it's the right-hand side of the building as you kind of see it from Front Street, and it looked like a mess. It was a total mess. This guy brought in Molotov cocktails, lit them up, threw them in, up they go. Again, no sprinkler system. So the fire did the, if you will, the maximum amount of damage to that part of the mansion, part of the house. Millions to rebuild the mansion. Where are we going to get that money from? Yeah.
Where could it be?
Like there's money just floating all over the place, and now we have to redo the mansion. Oh, boy. Or at least a significant chunk of the mansion. Okay. All right, let's see. What other news? Now, I was not in State College last evening or yesterday afternoon. Apparently, I'm taking this from other reports. Some protesters showed up at the Allen Street gates and then apparently decided to go out into the streets and disrupt traffic. I guess they think that somehow that's a good thing. As you can tell by my tone of voice, I'm not a fan. They were protesting, I guess the number is now 22. 22 Penn State international student visas were revoked by the government. Now, maybe you've seen, if you follow news, you've seen these stories over the last couple of days. Again, and Penn State's not the only one. Apparently, it's upwards of 170, 180 universities across the country. The Trump administration, the folks in charge, have rescinded some international student visas for various reasons. Now, in Penn State's case, 22 visas revoked. That's the last number I saw. Just about all of those, apparently, those particular students, at some point in the past, it says they committed retail theft. Now, I'm going to assume that means shoplifting. All right? Didn't say shoplifting, but I'm going to assume that's what it was. Now, these were like one-time offenses by these kids or young people, and there is a program, I guess it's got a fancy name, but if you're a first-time offender and you've never done this before, so that you don't have something on your record, they go through this program. Yes, you did it, okay. Although I guess officially they aren't convicted of anything. And so they go, you go through this program, and it, allegedly at the end of the program, your record is clean. Obviously, you don't go and do it again. Your record is clean. And so apparently these particular international students shoplifted. Again, I'm assuming that's what it is. Got nailed, went through this program, had their records cleared. I think there was also two DUIs on that list. And again, these were first-timers, not that's not a regular thing, international students, and then they had their records cleaned. And at that point, okay, I'm out of the woods, I shouldn't have done what I did, you know, blah, blah, all that stuff. Well, are your records actually ever cleaned? Maybe not. Somebody remembers. And apparently the government, or at least the White House, finds out about this stuff, and they lifted the student visas from these 22 kids. Now, according to one story, most of these kids have already left the country. They're not even here anymore. They're gone. Okay. But apparently this protest last night was about, you know, this is not right, student visas, this is, you know, inappropriate, blah, blah, blah. One story said about 50 people took part in this protest. Okay, first off, this is Scott here. I understand the protest. I get it. All right? This student visa thing, I'm going to pull back my old question. Is it possible to go too far with something? Maybe. All right, and again, this has happened at like 180 universities across the country. I don't know what the other offenses were, if it was all shoplifting or whatever. I have no clue. But, you know, is this a little maybe too much? You know, maybe. All right, that's one man's opinion. But once again, we have this protest. Number one, I saw a photo. I think this was the Center Daily Times version, the story version last evening. There's a photo there of these protesters. Number one, most of them are wearing masks. I'm like, okay, you have COVID? Why are you wearing a mask? All right, why? And, of course, racism signs. I'm thinking, okay, here we go. We're going to fall back on this again. If any of those protesters happen to be listening to my voice this morning, I have a thought. Number one, not everything is racism. Stop. I mean, you're killing yourself. You're killing your own argument when you pull out the same old tired signs. All right. And number two, no one is going to take you seriously if you're wearing a mask. Simply put. And so between the racism signs I saw in that photo and people wearing masks again, my simple thought for that group, no one is taking you seriously. Why are you doing this? No one is paying it. They're laughing at you, if anything, because you're not showing your seriousness. Number one, you got the mask gig. Take your mask off. Have the courage to show your face. Number two, not everything is racism. Okay, it just isn't. No one is taking you seriously. Do not walk out into traffic and disrupt traffic. You lose even more credibility when you pull a maneuver like that. All right, if you want to be angry, go be angry somewhere else. There are innocent people trying to do their lives, going up and down College Avenue. Apparently, at some point, they ended up on Beaver Avenue yesterday. People trying to get home or go to work or whatever they're trying to do, and you're standing in the way, wearing your dumb mask, holding your stupid sign. No one is taking you seriously. Now, you've got some legitimate gripes. You really, really do. That's one man's opinion. You have some legitimate gripes, but then you trash it with all the other crap. I don't know, Mr. Ironhead, what do you think? Am I alone in the wilderness here?
No, I think that's the sense of entitlement to think that you, because you have something to say, and I, as we've talked about, I really do wonder, like, is there anybody in that group that thinks... And if you do, again, I mean, I really would. I'd love to hear from you and just walk me through the logic. But if you're attempting to persuade others, hey, I think I have a good point to make here, and I want you to listen to me and agree with me. This is how you think you are going to make that happen. I don't think that's what's going on. I think, again, it's just, hey, I want you to know that I'm here and I'm going to shout loud enough that you hear it. And it's, okay, I hear you. And now I think you're a moron. Thanks for playing and bye-bye. I like, what what good do you think you're accomplishing? And maybe it's no, we're not trying to accomplish anything good. We're trying to just interrupt the lives of those that aren't thinking like we're thinking. So, okay.
That's effective.
All right.
That's effective. It just, again, they've got some legitimate gripes. They really do. But when they keep pulling these maneuvers, it's the rest of us are like, would you please go away? So they need to rethink their strategy. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
The Fox. This is the Fox. Get the feeling. Whoa. This is the Fox.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit Belfont Cruise.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutcheon has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Hey, Ian's doing. Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from Pamp.
What's the name of Yoon's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear, remember Pamp for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. Pamp has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Hi, friends. Scott Giese here, and let's see. Where can you get the latest on local high school and Penn State sports, talk on the hot news stories of the day, guests on lots of great topics, some laughs, and your phone calls? All right, let's see. That's sports, news, laughs, guests, phone calls. Oh, yes, it's Let's Talk. Weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m., only here on 98.7 The Fox and streaming online at 987thefox.com. No other show like it. Join Jeff Byers and me for Let's Talk weekday mornings only on 98.7 The Fox.
Let's talk here on a Wednesday, right smack dab in the middle of the week, and this is the time where we take a check of sports. So today we thought we'd, you know, take a check of sports.
Good plan.
Following the script perfectly.
Okay, yes.
Penn State baseball team falling to Delaware last night 13-3 at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. Penn State jumped out to a 1-0 lead on a leadoff home run by Ryan Weingartner. The Blue Hens responded with four runs in the third and then coasted to the victory from there. Penn State falling to 22-13 on the season. Delaware now 19-16 on the year. The home run was the eighth of the season for Weingartner. Nate Voss also had an RBI double and scored a run, and Jesse Jokonski had a double and a run for the Nittany Lions. Of course, the big news, it was the fifth dollar dog night of the season, although the weather did not exactly cooperate.
I'm amazed they played the game.
I am, too.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the high school games, if somebody knows differently, I can't find anything anywhere that indicates any of the county teams' games that were scheduled. And I think there were only three on the docket that I'm aware of anyway, and I don't think any of them were played yesterday. Again, if somebody knows differently, by all means, give us a call and let us know. But I think nothing else was played. Yeah, the thunderstorm that rolled through, at least in the State College area, it was short-lived, but it was intense. And we saw a couple of trees downed, one that hit a house of somebody.
Ooh.
We know. It was... swift and powerful. Anyways, back to Dollar Dog Night. 1,284 fans showed up at the ballpark. They did a number. I will say again, 1,284, the number of fans, 2,584 hot dogs consumed.
I win.
You did your job. Yes, Mr. Giese wins, and not very close was I.
I went low because the weather yesterday, I was hoping
it would just clear up.
Except my low was 6,000 something, so that's not even low.
Penn State fans have now consumed 27,212 hot dogs through $5 dog nights this season. Nittany Lions will be back in action at home for a three-game weekend series against Purdue. The games will be Friday at 5:30, Saturday at 2, and then Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Now, Saturday is a big day. Not a dollar dog day, but... it's ice cream day at the ballpark.
There we go.
And Penn State's Berkey Creamery will be serving Grand Slam chocolate chip cookie dough.
Ooh.
That is the flavor that Penn State Baseball is sponsoring throughout the month of April. So big opportunity there. That is for Saturday's game again, which will begin at 2 o'clock. Penn State softball had an early lead. It did not hold up. Pitt wins it 16-8 in six innings last night. Sophomore designated player Brooke Klosowitz continuing her fantastic season. She had three RBI on a home run in the second inning, and she is now four RBI shy of the single season record for Penn State. She has 45 RBI on the season, and is looking to surpass the record of 49 set by Jennifer Tripkin and Nan Sichler in the 2002 and 1988 seasons, respectively. Klosowitz has 11 home runs on the season. That is tied for ninth in program history. Penn State will begin a six-game road trip with a three-game series at Iowa this weekend. 25th-ranked Penn State women's lacrosse team is back in action today. Nittany Lions will be closing out the regular season at Johns Hopkins. Penn State has won five straight. They're looking to wrap up the regular season on a six-game winning streak. First draw against the Blue Jays will be at 6 o'clock today at Homewood Field in the Baltimore area. Penn State is in third place now in the Big Ten Conference. Nittany Lions are sitting at 16 and coming off a 16-8 win over USC this past weekend. Former Cincinnati guard Josh Reed has committed to Penn State. He is transferring into the Nittany Lions program. This first reported by On3's Joe Tipton. Reed becoming the Nittany Lions first pickup from the transfer portal this year. Reed is in his last season of eligibility. He had 98 appearances and 9 starts over his 3 seasons with the Bearcats, all 9 starts coming this past season. He averaged 4.7 points, 0.8 assists, and 2.4 rebounds per game, and averaged just over 17 minutes per game. For Cincinnati, also had 24 steals and 7 blocks. Penn State men's lacrosse's Matt Traynor and Hunter Aquino have been named the weekly award winners for Big Ten men's lacrosse. Traynor, the offensive player of the week. Aquino, the freshman of the week. Traynor had a pretty good game against Johns Hopkins, had 7 goals, and also added an assist for good measure in the victory. And Aquino picking up his 5th Big Ten Freshman of the Week honor this season. He also tied the program record for receiving the award with Mac O'Keefe in 2017. Penn State hockey senior Simon Mack has signed an amateur tryout agreement with the Calgary Wranglers of the American Hockey League. He will join them for the remainder of this season. The Wranglers are the AHL affiliate of the Calgary Flames in the National Hockey League. Mack became one of the top defensemen in the country this past season for the Nittany Lions. And Penn State coming off that Frozen Four appearance, the first in program history, finishing the season at number 5. You know, they were in the Frozen Four.
Yeah, I'm
they were
confused.
One of the final four teams. They finished 5th in the coaches' rankings. That was announced earlier this week. It is the highest ranking at the end of the year in program history. Penn State, by the way, unranked back at the start of the season, and the Nittany Lions do finish as the highest-ranked Big Ten squad. Michigan State finishes at 6th. Minnesota was 9th, Ohio State 11th, and Michigan 17th. Justin Hagenman is set to make his major league debut today for the New York Mets as the Mets take on the Minnesota Twins in their series finale at Target Field. Manager Carlos Mendoza making that announcement to reporters yesterday. The 28-year-old Hagenman is a Penn State alum. Was called up to replace Griffin Canning, who was scratched from his start due to illness. Not 100% clear whether Hagenman will be brought in relief or will get the start, but he is the only fully rested pitcher available on the roster, according to Onward State. Hagenman pitching at Penn State from 2015 through 2018, and he was drafted initially by the LA Dodgers in the 23rd round of the 2018 Major League Baseball Draft. Penn State men's basketball has three alums getting ready for NBA postseason action. Jalen Pickett with the Denver Nuggets, Lamar Stevens with the Memphis Grizzlies, and Seth Lundy with the LA Clippers. Stevens and the Grizzlies, the 8th seed in the West. They'll open action in the NBA play-in game against Golden State. Golden State winning that game last night. The 4th seeded Nuggets and Lundy's 5th seeded Clippers will square off in the opening round of the NBA playoffs, which begin on Saturday. Jake Irvin threw 7 scoreless innings. Ugh. And the Washington Nationals quickly cooled off. Remember those hot bats from Monday night that the Pirates had? We're back to looking like, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
It got cold.
James Wood led off the game with a home run for the Nationals. That's all they would need. Mitch Keller gave up 2 more runs as the Nationals got those insurance runs off of Keller in the 6th. Keller falling to 1-2 on the season. Scary moment in the 6th. When Keller plunked Paul DeJong in the face with a pitch, and it was not a great scene, and it clearly affected Keller. And again, the Pirates go on to the 3-0 loss. Buccos will resume that series today, and we'll see what they can muster. It is going to be a long, long year.
Hope springs eternal
for Pittsburgh, and it is just frustrating that you are going to see an opportunity like Paul Skenes gives you just go by the boards without any even thought to, hey, maybe we could be a contender. Nope, not going to happen. Philadelphia Phillies, meanwhile, did get a big 6-4 win over the Giants last night. Philadelphia improving to 10-7 on the season, and they will be back in action tonight against the Giants. That will be a 6:45 start this evening. Pirates and the Nationals, by the way, will be a 6:40 first pitch tonight. 6:15 will be the airtime right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. You know, maybe somehow they could win another game. You never know. It could happen. Just very, very frustrating.
Okay.
Again, the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Philadelphia Flyers getting ready to wrap up their seasons, ready to hit the golf courses, are both teams. Speaking of UGG, tomorrow night the Penguins will host the Capitals to close out the season, and the Philadelphia Flyers, coming off a 3-0 loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets yesterday, will close out their season against the Sabres in Buffalo tomorrow at 7 o'clock as well.
I'll make a prediction.
Yeah.
All right, you're about to take this really cool trip.
Uh-huh.
I bet the Pirates start to light it up after you leave and take your trip.
I would be okay with
okay?
that.
Okay, we'll see.
I would be okay with that.
We'll see what happens.
I don't think it's going to happen. Now, but I would love to see it. Patrick Peterson, by the way, former All-Pro cornerback and former Pittsburgh Steeler, has officially retired after he signed a one-day deal with the Arizona Cardinals. So Peterson is hanging up his cleats. Maybe he can join the Penguins and the Flyers on the golf course later this week.
Yeah, they're all at the same golf course. Yeah, that'll be wild. I mean, those hockey rankings, yeah, I saw Penn State number 5. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that doesn't seem quite right.
Now, I just looked this up. I'm like, okay, who beat them out? Boston College beat them out. Boston College apparently was ranked number 4 before.
Yeah.
And Penn State was 5. I mean, before St. Louis happened. And that still wasn't enough. Barely. I mean, the point total is very close. But, I mean, come on, Penn State should be number 4, not number 5.
Clearly.
I mean, we're quibbling, but you get the idea.
We like to quibble.
Yeah,
we're good
at quibbling, yes. All right, and one more sports story.
Yeah.
How do you know if you're having a bad day?
Well, you look down and you see if you're wearing Pirates paraphernalia.
No.
If you are, you're likely having.
No, that's not it. Okay. Now, I must admit, I don't watch tennis on TV.
Tennis is fine.
I haven't played tennis in a very long time.
I don't know why you're so anti-tennis.
I've never had a chance, you know, recently and so on. But, of course, there are these professional tournaments, you know, all over the place. Right now, this week in France, is the women's, I think it's Rouen Open. All right, this is in France.
So they're playing, and
yesterday, Lois Boisson of France defeated Harriet Dart of Great Britain.
Of course.
Now, two things on that.
Yeah.
Boisson, the French player, is ranked number, like, 300. And Dart is ranked like number 60. So this was an upset.
Any relation to Jackson Dart?
I'm pretty sure it's not. Okay,
right.
I don't think so. And Boisson won. She won going away yesterday.
Look at that.
What?
Six going away.
6-love, 6-3. I mean, it wasn't even close. She played a bad round. She just played a bad match. But then to make it worse, at some point during the second set, they have, you know, during the tennis, you know, they change sides and, you know, do all that stuff. Apparently, Dart goes over to the umpire who sits right aside the net, you know, kind of up in the air a little bit. She goes to the umpire, and this was a mistake because, among other things, there was a microphone close by. She goes to the umpire yesterday and she says, and this is a quote.
Oh boy.
Can you ask her, the opponent, can you ask her to put on deodorant? She smells really bad.
Oh boy.
Excuse me. The French player, she's only 21 years old. And of course, this makes social media, which then Dart is immediately roasted on social media because A, she played poorly, and B, she's complaining about her opponent's odor. Okay? Now, you know, this happens, and of course, it makes news, and then Dart has to go on social media and apologize. Okay, I wasn't thinking. I have a lot of respect for Lois, the other player. Uh-huh. You know, blah, blah, blah. Now, Boisson, the other player, is a smart young woman. All right, first off, she won the match, so that's great. And then she posts something on her own social media, which is a picture of her on the court, and her hand, in this case, is kind of out, and superimposed on top of her hand is a picture of Dove deodorant.
Oh, boy.
And essentially, she tags Dove to essentially saying, hey, maybe this could be an endorsement idea. Now, when's the last time you played tennis? It's been a long time.
It has been a very long time.
All right, this is not pickleball, okay, which where the people are kind of closer. This is tennis. People are further away.
Yeah.
Maybe Dart has a superhuman nose. How did she even get close to the other player to make a comment like she did? That's the mystery here.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're playing tennis, the other player is like way over there, and I'm way over here. How did she even get close to the other player to determine that there was an odor problem? Mm. But What's the umpire supposed to do? Yeah, sure. Can we bring some deodorant out here for this player?
We got an official timeout.
What's the umpire supposed to do in this case? I mean, I wish I could have seen the umpire's reaction. Like, excuse me? What? You're getting clobbered and you're complaining about deodorant. Okay, very nice. So, folks, be careful what you say. There could be a live microphone somewhere close to you. Okay? Now, we have live microphones here all the time.
We do.
And believe me, I used deodorant this morning. Did you?
I thought about it long and hard.
I didn't want to say anything.
Huh? No, I considered it.
Because then I would get roasted on social media.
Considered it strong.
It's time to take a break and maybe visit the restroom. All right, we got a couple of minutes to do that. We have some guests coming up. We will have some open line time as well. This show smells so good. We will come right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit Belfont Cruise.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
It is a Wednesday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you, and yep, that phone line is open for this segment at 814-954-7266.
All right, we got some guests coming up in about 10-15 minutes, thereabouts. Trust in Media. Oh boy, there's one. Special event at, actually it's an online event hosted by the Penn State Page Center, which again, when I found out about this, I'm like, what's the Page Center? I was embarrassed. I'd never heard of the group. So I reached out to them, yeah, we'd love to be on the show. So we've got a couple folks coming over to talk about the center, talk about this event next week. It's an online event, which I think is open to anybody. Well, I have to ask our guests that. First, I thought it was just for students, but it might be, you know, might be open to anybody to check out one day next week. So we'll have some more details on that. Wink Martindale passed away yesterday.
Yeah.
I believe he was 91. Now, this is Wink Martindale, the game show host, not Wink Martindale, the football coach, whose first name is not really Wink. Right? The football coach.
That is,
it just,
I think
somehow
correct.
He picked up the nickname Wink.
Yeah.
Because his last name is Martindale. Tic-Tac-Doe. If anybody is old enough to remember that show, Tic-Tac-Doe. I mean, that was a great show. I think he did a number of shows. So he passed away yesterday. I believe he was 91.
The game show, you know, his first name wasn't actually Wink either.
Right.
Just So we're
just
here.
Somebody put wink with it, I guess. I don't know. U.S. Senator Dave McCormick was actually in town in State College here yesterday.
Yep.
Had a private meeting with some business leaders and so on. Okay, fine. Not a lot of details about what they were talking about, apparently. But I caught a story from Penn Live last night that apparently, this is interesting. Now, keep in mind, McCormick is the brand new U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania. All right, John Fetterman, of course, is the other senator. And McCormick apparently has come out publicly to say he backs term limits for senators and members of Congress. Wow, that's rare. Now, the question is, will he continue with that view? Because he just began his six-year senatorial term. Is he always going to think that way? Watch that. I mean, I've heard some other newly elected people, oh, yes, I'm for this. And then over time, it's like, oh, changed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if that holds. But I know that caught my attention yesterday. I thought, oh, that's very interesting. All right, now yesterday was tax day. Come on, you latecomers. Did you do it yesterday? Did you get your stuff filed, go to see a tax person, you know, all that sort of stuff? Hope you did. Now, once again, mentioned this yesterday, you can do an extension of your return, I think as late as October. But the thing is, if you know you owe money to the federal government, you need to pay something or you're going to get nailed with penalties. All right? If you do it next week, in June, in August, in October, if you know you owe something, you're supposed to pay now. You can turn in your return later if you want, but you're supposed to pay now. Now, if you know that, okay, I know I'm getting a refund, again, the federal government's attitude is, take your time. No big hurry. You're perfectly fine. Here's a story from Axios. The average tax refunds by state across the country. Now, this is actually information from 2022, so a little bit of age on this. The average tax, what is it for the whole country? I missed it. So you can tell if you're doing great or if you're not doing great. The average tax refund for the, average tax refunds anywhere from $2,700 to almost $4,000. That's an average. If you get a refund, that's an average. Okay, let's have fun. Play our favorite game quiz, the Ironhead. Which state, Mr. Ironhead, had the highest average tax refund for 2022?
I have purple trapezoids.
No, there's no state. No state purple trapezoid. No.
Wrong again. It just the most money that was refunded.
Right. Average in that state. The most highest average tax refund for the whole state. Do, 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 do.
California.
Do, do, do. Not even close, I don't think. I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
You're about to visit this state.
Ooh.
Da, da, da,
it's got to be either Wyoming or Florida.
Da, da, da.
Well, Florida doesn't tax much. I don't know how they would get a huge refund.
Well, this is federal. Federal now. Federal. And we're not talking about the other levels. We're just talking about the feds.
California taxes the bejesus.
Just talk about the feds.
Ah.
Da, da, da.
Well, we'll go with Florida.
Florida would be correct.
All right.
Their average people that got a refund, their average tax refund, $3,900. Texas number two at $3,800. And I tell you what, you're just quite a trip. Wyoming is third.
There you go.
At $3,700.
Way to get it done, Wyoming.
So are you getting, no, that's a little personal if you're getting a tax refund. I don't want to go there. Okay.
Wonderful.
But you're going to places that have the biggest tax refund amounts.
Uh-huh.
How about that? Now, at the other end of the spectrum, no, Pennsylvania is not at the other end of the spectrum.
No.
The lowest number belongs to Maine, $2,700. Wisconsin, $2,700. Oregon, $2,800.
Huh.
Now, again, these were people that got refunds. Okay. Now, this was tax year 2022, so this is 2 years ago. According to the story, it says here, nearly 68% of all federal tax filings had a refund 2 years ago. So round off, let's say two-thirds. Two-thirds of people who put in a tax or put a tax return in, they got a federal refund. All right. Now, there's, I'm glad whoever wrote this story, I'm glad they put this next line in here, because I think there are some people that really don't understand this. If you're getting a whopping tax refund, you think, oh, this is great. Oh, I'm getting money. Yay, wonderful. Folks, this is not great. All right, let's walk this through.
Yeah.
So if you're celebrating, like, you did your last-minute taxes last night or something, okay, and you got it in just under the wire, and you thought, oh, man, look at that whopping tax refund I'm getting. That's great. Think about this. What you have done is you've actually overpaid to the federal government. Now, the federal government will happily hold that money for you. Oh, yeah, they'll hold it. In fact, they'll do more than hold it. They'll do something with it. Maybe they put it in various things that get interest, so the government makes money. You don't. When they give you your tax refund back, now, it would be interesting if interest came with that. Because, hey, federal government, let's say I'm getting a $3,000 tax refund. Federal government, you've been holding my $3,000 for the past year. Okay, now you're going to give it back to me with interest, right? No. 0% interest.
Uh-huh.
Why are you loaning the government, in my example, $3,000 and getting nothing in return? Wouldn't it be better if you had that $3,000 in your pocket or in your bank account or in your like savings or interest-bearing bank account? All right? Don't you think that would be a good idea? Folks, you're getting cheated if you get a massive tax refund. Do you realize this? I think some people do not realize this. They don't get it. Folks, you should not have a massive tax refund. That's bad. Keep the money. Don't give it to the government. They're not going to give you anything.
I would love to keep the money.
No. Let's take a break. We'll come right back. Get that feeling. Get the
feeling. This is the Fox. Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit Belfont Cruise.
Doing Better Business is so proud of our technical staff on their recent score of 100%. In customer satisfaction from surveys administered by CEO Juice. Nothing is worse than having your copier or printer go down right in the middle of an important project. Doing Better Business understands this. As one of the only independent dealers in the region, we employ the most certified RICO field technicians, and with an average tenure of almost 20 years, this means you are back up and running in no time. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
Get ready, Center County. Clearwater Pool and Spa is turning up the heat at this year's Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th with an incredible giveaway. We're giving one lucky winner a walk-in 735L hot tub by Hot Springs. This six-person luxury spa is designed for the ultimate relaxation experience. Featuring powerful massage jets for deep hydrotherapy, multi-zone LED lighting to set the perfect mood, energy-efficient smart jet technology to keep costs low, and, of course, the trusted quality of Hot Springs Spas, the industry leader in comfort and innovation. Want to enter? Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall before the event or visit our booth at the Bellefonte Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to take home this premium hot spring hot tub. Make sure to check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit us in person at our Center Hall location where you can browse our full lineup of hot spring spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our Imagine Pools and our selection of fiberglass pools by Ocean Reef. Win big this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Bellefonte Cruise.
To keep up with 98.7 The Fox, be sure to always check our website, 987thefox.info. Our weekly program schedule, local sports results, the news outlets page to stay informed, the Let's Talk page with recordings from shows and interviews. Sign up for our 98.7 The Fox Insider email newsletter, and it's the place to stream 98.7 The Fox anytime, anywhere. Save this on your computer and your mobile device, 987thefox.info. Keep that address. Hope you'll join us, 987thefox.info.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College. Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys. 98.7 The Fox.
It is a Wednesday edition of Let's Talk. We will have some open phone time coming up toward the end of this morning's program.
All right, here's another one of these instances where your friend Scott, I'm constantly reminded that I truly am dumb as a brick. It's true, I'm dumb as a brick. I'd like to think, oh, I know lots of things, and then every now and then something comes across, I'm like, what is that? I've never heard of that. What is that? And so recently, since I've been a lifelong journalist, I came across something. I'm like, I have no idea what that is. Page Center, I have no idea what that is. I want to find out more. So there's an event coming up next week and run by the Page Center from Penn State. And we want to welcome into our humble studios Denise Bortry and Jonathan McVary. Now, folks, are sharing a mic, so you're going to have to lean in there a little bit, all right? First of all, thanks for both of you to coming out today. Appreciate your time this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
All right. You're welcome. This event, well, let's start from scratch, okay? First off, for the two of you, you're with the Page Center at Penn State. Let's find out just about you. Denise, why don't you go first? Tell us something about yourself, your background, you know, where you're from, all that sort of stuff. Go right ahead.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, thanks for having us today. My name is Denise Bortry. I'm the director of the Page Center. I'm also the associate dean for academic affairs in the Belisario College at Penn State. And I've been the Page Center director for, I think, 10 years, going on 10 years now. And my background is I was faculty member at in the College of Communications. I research around issues of integrity, ethics, sustainability, nonprofit communication. And the center's just been a passion of mine since I started directing it. We focus on research that is in the space of ethics, and so I love being able to set the vision and be able to offer events like the one we're going to talk about today.
All right. Love it. Jonathan, how about you?
My name is Jonathan McVary. I'm the communications manager for the Page Center. Sometimes Denise misspeaks and refers to me as the director, and I embrace that wholeheartedly. I've been the communications manager for about 10 years. I came in about 6 months after Denise became the director. And I just wanted to share the full name. So we are the Arthur W. Page Center for Integrity and Public Communication. Kind of what Denise said, we do three prongs of funding research, developing education opportunities, and outreach events like the one next week.
All right, now that must make a great business card. The Arthur Page Center for whatever you just said. I have no idea. That's a big, long title.
In
now,
Belisario College of Communications.
Donald P. Belisario. There you go.
Do you get sued if you don't mention Mr. Belisario? That's part of the deal, right? Yeah, okay. And again, I mentioned our humble abode because I've been over to Carnegie a number of times, and wow. Because now he's Jeff's an alum who remembers back in the day. Did you do any of this stuff?
Not quite the same equipment that we had access to back in the late 1980s and early 90s.
Yeah, and I'm proudly wearing my alum sweatshirt because it's cold today. And yes, when I think about what I used in college, and I walk into Carnegie, I'm like, holy fright! Look at this; is fantastic.
It is. It's very.
Now tell us, Denise, impressive. What? Okay, you gave a nice title. What is the Page Center? In other words, what? And I'm embarrassed because I'd never heard of the Page Center until I saw this recently, and I found your website. I'm like, wow, this is really great. I've never heard of this. So tell us, what is the Page Center, and sort of what do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think you're not alone in not knowing what the Page Center is. We are, I think, emerging more just recently because of some of this work that we're doing, some of the outreach that we've been doing. But we were established in 2004, so we've been around for quite some time. And the focus of the center is funding research. So we're unique in the sense that we are a funding institution. We give money to scholars who do research in the space of ethics, transparency, truth-telling, and the center not only looks at media journalism, but looks at corporate communication, public communication, and that's been, you know, our priority from the beginning. We've been a funding institution, and we've given over $1 million in research funding and funded, 200 plus?
Over 300
now scholars since the beginning.
All right. Now, Arthur Page, Mr. Page, who was Mr. Page? Because I don't know who he was.
That's a great question.
That is a great question.
So I'm also a Belisario College alum, and when I applied for the job, I just assumed Arthur Page was a big donor, a big alumni. But as far as I know, he's never been to Penn State. He's never even heard of State College. But he was basically the first public relations, I guess the first CCO of a major company, AT&T, back in the early 1900s. He did a lot of things. He was an advisor for a couple presidents. He wrote for magazines and books. But from our perspective, he was the first guy to run the communications for AT&T, which at the time was a new. He's known as the godfather or grandfather of public relations.
Huh.
So then fast forward, I don't know, 60, 70 years, Larry Foster, who is a distinguished alumnus from Penn State and the Belisario College, has donated lots of money. As far as I know, was just a great admirer of Arthur Page and wanted this center to kind of revolve around his psyche or his principles. Of communications and delivering, being honest with the public, giving them the right information at the right time, things like that.
Wow.
So it's a bit unusual, I think, the connection to Penn State, but in that circle, Arthur Page is a big name in the public relations circle.
You got something? Go ahead.
Yeah, very open-ended question, but as a society, how are we doing with ethics and truth-telling when it comes to, I guess, the media and companies in general?
Yeah, I think that's a
loaded question.
It is, no doubt.
I would say maybe not well as far as truthfulness, transparency, and lack of disinformation and misinformation. I think we're seeing so much more of that today, and that's part of what we're looking at. And I think the introduction of artificial intelligence, social media, all these other things just complicate the situation even more and give platforms for bad actors who want to spread misinformation and disinformation.
Let me just follow up, because that's my impression as well. I think part of it, and this is just me surmising, but we've talked about it a lot on this program over the years. When I graduated from Penn State. They don't like me telling this publicly. They don't like to take ownership of me being an alum. But 1992, went on the 5-year plan, exactly, full transparency. Just on a local front, when I first came in, we started over across town at WRSC. At that time, WRSC had a news director, mm-hmm. two part-time reporters, and at least two interns. Mm-hmm. Five-person news department. And I came in and was on the sports side of things, and I covered news stories. It's like, hey, we're shorthanded. You got to get out. It's like, okay, cool. And I got to cover news events. There was another radio station, WMAJ at the time, had a news director, had a couple of part-time reporters, had interns. 3WZ at the time had a news director. I don't think they had quite the overall numbers in terms of their department. We had a couple of TV stations that were full throttle, many local reporters. We had the Center Daily Times that had four or five local, living here, out, digging for stories. Folks, we now have Gary Sinderson with WJAC and a couple of reporters here and there doing some work. But a lot of the stuff that I see reported now, it's from news releases. Mm-hmm. This is Absolutely. What the company wants you to report on. Mm-hmm. This is what the politicians. There is not much, but certainly in comparison to the late 80s, in terms of folks that are digging for local stories on the reporter front. How much of the lack of transparency, maybe the lack of honesty, just comes from the changes within the media industry in general? We just do not have anywhere near the numbers we did. And even where you have reporters, and I'm using air quotes here in the studio, we don't have many that are really digging, that are what I would call investigative reporters, that, man, where I'm going to dig and find the truth here. We just don't have anywhere near the numbers that we once did. And I think these folks know it, and they know that they're not going to be held nearly as accountable as they once were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think there have been a lot of changes in journalism and in other spaces in communication that have caused some of this issue. Shrinking newsrooms absolutely are part of it, and there's just an appetite for news information, political information 24/7. But the newsrooms can't necessarily keep up with that. So we have a lot of other entities that are contributing to the conversation around news and political news specifically, and that they're not classically trained journalists, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of opinion that people are misinterpreting, I think, as true news. We have at Belisario College and at schools around the country, we train journalists specifically to cover news, multiple sources, getting both sides of the story, putting together the whole story for the public to understand. And there's just, even the news, as the newsrooms are shrinking and the news hole is growing, I think there's just a lot of other types of information that people are getting and are believing that to be truth.
Do you see more in journalism, and again, I'll use air quotes here with journalism, but there was certainly, when I first was breaking into the business, it's like, all right, we want to be first, but what we really want is to be right. It feels to me like it is much more now, we got to be first. So, well, yeah, but you're reporting inaccurate information. Yeah, but we're the first ones to get it out there. There seems to be a shift in the emphasis. Well, as long as we get something out there and we're the ones that are breaking, even if we have to retract everything that we just reported, it's like, well, yeah, but at least we were out there first. It just seems like there's an emphasis on the first rather than the right. And again, you want to be first, but more important when I was coming in, it's like, man, whatever you report, it better be right. And so you did. You had multiple sources. Like, man, I really trust this person, but I got to find somebody. And we did. I mean, we would be on the phone. Can you verify that? And somebody eventually, you know, more often than not would. But there just does not seem to be anywhere near that degree of, yeah, boy, we got to make sure we get this right.
Jonathan, what do you think there?
Well, I was going to say I wanted to add WPSU-FM News as a journalist still around.
For sure.
And doing good work.
Very good work.
But I think that's what the folks at this event are going to talk about, is kind of having to deal with that, is double-checking. You know, if you do see that first post or whatever, not... You know, doing the steps that you need to take to make sure it's true, and you know, maybe letting it sit for you for a little while to see what else comes out of it, and just kind of dealing with the current. Because, like you said, with newsrooms shrinking, those mechanisms of double checking are just not there, and maybe they can't be there in some cases. So, having those as news consumers, and I think this event's going to drive this idea of news literacy and how to handle some of these changes. And maybe kind of develop a cycle where you're understanding how this works now and learning the stuff that's true.
All right, now this event next week, this is how I got connected with you folks. First, let's get some basics. What is this event? When? Who? You know, journalism. Who, what, where, when, why, how? There we go. Yeah. Give us all the particulars of this event next week.
Exactly. So the event it's called Finding Truth, Building Trust. And the audience that we hope will join us are, I think I heard you say earlier about students. Yes, students. But I think mostly we have people from the community. We have communication professionals who have signed up for this event. So it's targeted to people who are communicators now or people who are interested in what's happening with media and truth-telling in society today. We have two guests and also a moderator. The moderator is Suki Dardarian. She just retired as the editor for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and they've had a lot of challenges in Minneapolis that her newspaper, I think, did a fantastic job of reporting and offering a lot of resources for transparency in the recent years. And then the other guests are John Awada, who's an executive fellow and lecturer at the Yale Program on Stakeholder Innovation and Management at Yale School of Management. But he's also leading an initiative around AI. He's working with CEOs across the country, talking about how artificial intelligence can be developed in an ethical way, thinking about consequences for humans, consequences for society. How do we move forward in a thoughtful way? And so I think he'll bring some of that to the conversation. And then Vivian Schiller is the Vice President and Executive Director of the Aspen Digital at the Aspen Institute, a former journalist and someone who's really an expert in this space, to talk to us about how does media build trust, about how can the public sort through the information that they're getting to find truth.
All right. Where, when, what time, all those particulars?
Well, it's all online, and it's free, and you can go to thepagecenter.org to sign up. It's a quick registration. The event is on April 23rd at 10 a.m., but if you do sign up, we'll send you an email. I think Zoom will automatically send you an email with the recording, so if 10 a.m. is not your time, there'll be a recording available.
All right, so the 23rd, that's next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
All right. Now, and I got a little confused. At first I thought, okay, this is just for students. This is anybody can tune into this, right? I mean, literally anybody.
Yes, and we hope so. One of the things that we call them scholars, the people who do the research for us, they're instructors and faculty members all over the world. It's not just at Penn State. So we can incorporate them to include stuff like this in their classes. But really, it's for people who do communications, it's for students, and it's for people who just read the news sometimes and kind of want to deal with some of the problems you mentioned.
Yeah. Now, will this somehow be interactive? Like, if this is all online, so is there like a chat window they can ask a question?
Well, this will be the last 15 or so minutes, we will have a live Q&A, and I think Denise and I will feed the questions to Suki, and she'll be able to ask John and Vivian.
This is scheduled for an hour?
Yes.
A one-hour event. So 10 a.m. next Wednesday, the 23rd. And if people want to sign up, now I have pagecenter.psu.edu, but you have...
They both work.
Same place.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But yours is the Page Center, thepagecenter.org.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. P-A-G-E for Page. All right. All right. Let's take a commercial break right here. This is an issue that we talk about a lot. And you folks clearly are involved with research of this issue. So maybe a few questions just on, I don't know, whatever the research is showing us right now. Because yeah. I kind of echo my partner. This is not the old days. Ethics? What's ethics? I don't know what ethics is. For some of these people, it's like, really? Have you ever taken an ethics course? One, just something. Anyway, let's take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. And, yeah, we'll do more talking right after this.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit Belfont Cruise.
The Farmer's Daughterer on Route 64 celebrates local food, offering raised beef from Daughterer Dairy, Boar's Head Meats, a full deli, fresh subs made to order, and don't forget, check out the daily specials, fresh baked goods, sub platters, meats and cheese trays, and so much more. Lots of local made products, now serving wraps and salads. Stop in today at 6102 Nittany Valley Drive in Mill Hall, or visit them on Facebook. Open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 8, Sunday, noon to 5. The Farmer's Daughterer in Mill Hall.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Now, coming to State College soon, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant. Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sport, great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream, just down the street from Beaver Stadium and the Jordan Center, and they're hiring. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutcheon has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
The Fox! Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox!
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Again, we'll have a little open phone time coming up in the final segment of today's big show.
Again, we're talking with Denise Bortry and Jonathan McVary of the Page Center at Penn State, and I've already forgotten the big long title. It's the Page.
I can handle that.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's the Arthur W. Page Center for Integrity and Public Communication.
Ooh, you make T-shirts out of that. Holy mackerel, that's a big, long thing. Now, to be fair, right now, again, you folks are doing this event. It's next Wednesday, the 23rd, 10 a.m. online, yeah, about trust in media. And when, Jonathan, when we set up the interview, you told me, Scott, we're not the experts doing this show. We're just the folks behind the scenes arranging all this stuff. So you're not the experts here, right, so to speak. But you are, because, again, what the center does, let's see if I have this right. What the center does is you help other people do research into these various aspects of media, correct? That's what you folks do.
Yes, correct. So every year we have a call for grant proposals on a different topic, and we get submissions from faculty from around the country and even international faculty who have projects that they need funding to complete. And so we often fund 10 to 12 projects every year. On this past year, our topic was AI. We actually just announced a couple weeks ago, I think, the projects that we're going to fund on AI and ethics. So looking at the ethics of using AI, collecting data, and the way, again, like I was saying before, the way that AI can impact society in positive or negative ways, and just things that we need to be thinking about as a society, but also that organizations need to think about, that journalists need to be thinking about. So we have a number of different topics. We've looked at sustainability. We've looked at like engaging with stakeholders, many different topics over the years.
Now, are you folks unique? I mean, are there other Page centers at schools out there? I'm not familiar with this.
Not the way that we do it, no. We're pretty unique in that form.
What does that mean, then?
Like, there's the folks that we consider peers, it's like the Institute for Public Relations, but their purview is completely different. But, you know, there's a lot of overlap in people and resources. There's a Planck Center at Alabama.
University of Alabama.
And they're more like mentorship. But, you know, we talk. But in terms of studying ethics at this level, I believe we're the only ones.
Well, really? I mean, I'm thinking about, I'll call them big-time journalism schools, Missouri, maybe Syracuse, Northwestern. Mm-hmm. They don't have anything like this?
Yeah, and I think that the difference, they do. Oregon, they do have centers that focus on journalism ethics. We're broader. We're public communication. So we look a lot at corporate communication because that's all part of the mix, right? It's not just about journalism. It's about what are the companies saying? What are people saying online? What are people saying in social media? So we kind of step back and look at all of the communication sphere.
That's a big world.
It is. And I would say we're the only center that does funding like we do. A lot of other centers, they fund their own internal scholars at their universities. Sure. But we're funding what we try to do is find the experts. So you don't always have all the experts at your university, right? So we try to find the experts no matter what university they're at and fund them to do the research. And in the end, it gives us a great story to tell because we can collect 10 different research projects, and our efforts are really to bridge from academic work to the profession. So we have an insights report that we put together every year that pulls out the most impactful insights from all the research projects, and then we push that out so organizations can see that information, hopefully adopt it. And just last week I was in D.C. presenting on research insights from our last round of research projects.
How difficult is choosing? I'm guessing you're getting some pretty unique applications in different areas. Are there occasions where you're like, listen, this is great, we've got this on the table, please submit next year because we think this is worthwhile, but it's just not. It must be difficult figuring out which
absolutely
ones to do in a given year.
Yeah, absolutely. So we typically get 30 to 60 submissions every year, and then we fund about 10 to 12. This past year with AI, we got 90 submissions.
No,
that was really hard to go through because there were so many good projects that we couldn't fund. But the way we look at it is we want to cover many different aspects of, in this case, AI. And sometimes we'll get a couple different submissions that are on the same general topic. So we try to make sure that we're covering a lot of really important issues around underneath that one umbrella.
All right, folks, I'll bite. Funding is more challenging right now. I mean, you know, we've covered the university's money issues and the federal government cutting grants and whatever the heck they're doing down there. I would think funding has become much more of a challenge for you folks, or is that not true?
I think funding in general for research is across the board, particularly in communications, is a little bit challenging because a lot of the research funding that comes into the university is more science-based. It's STEM, where communications, there aren't really large funding institutions for that. And so there's a lot of pressure to get funding, which is why we see so many submissions at the Page Center. But the Page Center, we have an endowment. So Larry Foster, that Jonathan was talking about, established the endowment, was able to do a good amount of fundraising for us. So we have an annual fund that we're able to give away. So it hasn't been a challenge for us to give the money.
Okay.
I'd also like to add, like, I get the opportunity to interview all of our scholars shortly after they're funded. And my last question is always, can you tell me what this funding means to you and your work? And they all talk about how difficult it is to find money for these kind of projects. And they say, like, the Page Center is one of very few that gives us these opportunities. And they, I mean, across the board, they all say the same thing.
So it sounds like you folks are solid. Money-wise, you folks are solid, where some other entities on campus are like, uh-oh, you know, oh, no, you guys are good.
Yes, absolutely. For the Page Center, we're solid, as long as the market stays stable, because it is an endowment. We are.
Ah. Now, there's a thought. Okay. I didn't consider that. All right. Now, you folks don't work directly with students. But, I don't know, I'm assuming now graduate students maybe. I guess I mentioned during the break, we've had some fun where I've done some shows here over at the Hub with students because I'm pushing 62 years old and I want to get perspectives from 20-year-olds and 22-year-olds because I know they don't think the same as me. Mm-hmm. So graduate students, you know, whatever research they're doing, can you tell, what are their perspectives right now? Do you have any idea what they're thinking when it comes to journalism today and ethics and the way we do things? What are young people thinking?
Right, yeah, absolutely. And I will say we haven't funded that many graduate students on journalism-specific topics and some broader communication topics.
Right, right.
But I will say I'll speak to students in general, and I will say that the world of news is very different for them than it was when we were younger, where it was very clear, this is news, this is not news. I think that their experience of news, the way they get news, where they find news, is very different. A lot of them see news through social media, so it finds them rather than going out and seeking out news sources. So I think that creates a whole nother dynamic.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I also interview a lot of faculty here at Penn State, at Belisario College, and they say the same thing about one of the first questions they ask in, you know, COM 260W, Introduction to News Reporting. They ask the students what their news diet is, and they find out they really don't have a traditional news diet.
Yeah.
It's kind of looking at TikTok, and it's
something
just kind of catered
up
to what you look at all the time. And they often reference this idea of news finds me, and it's just this idea that you're kind of in your bubble, you hear from your family and your friends, you hear from your algorithm, and that's your worldview. So they try to develop assignments and practices where they visit a news site and just... So I spoke to the recent hire recently, and he said three times a day he asked the students to visit AP app or website three times a day and just kind of scroll through the headlines and see what surprises them. Because he says the way they're doing it now, nothing will surprise them because it's just stuff that's designed to fit their interests.
Yeah, it's such a different world. I mean, it's hard to... For me, it's hard to get my head around. And I'm consuming it, too. I mean, but it's like, it's just such a different concept. And being able to understand what it is you're consuming, I think, is, for any of us, a little bit of a challenge. It's like, all right, why am I getting this? What does this actually mean? And, again, just trying to sort through, all right, is this actual news? Is this opinion? Is this a little bit of a mix? And
Much more challenging, I think, to figure out what the truth is these days because of all of that.
Yeah, Jonathan, you mentioned two words that just makes me almost shake. One word is TikTok. The other word is algorithm.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody is controlling that algorithm to determine what everybody else sees. And that may, now, I don't know. We could maybe say that, all right, there was an editor of a newspaper, and he determined what stories are going to get put in the newspaper today. I don't know. Maybe that guy was an algorithm. Or I guess I'm too old to understand really what an algorithm is. But when you said TikTok and algorithm, I'm like, oh, boy.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a scary example. But one time I was just scrolling, this is a while ago, I was just scrolling through, and it was a picture of a dog fighting an alligator. And I was just made the mistake of watching it. And the alligator ate the dog. You know, and I was just horrified. And then for the next week, I got animals eating other animals videos. And that's just because I finished the video, it just locked me into this thing.
Yeah.
And it's, you see it in little stuff too, like watching old 90s NBA games, and all of a sudden I'm getting things about Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson, and just, you know, just because I finished it, or just because I spent a little bit more time on that post than others,
yeah.
you're stuck in it. And there's, I don't know, I know there's a way to clear it, but then you're just kind of back into it after that.
Yeah. Yes.
It's scary.
We have an X account, Twitter account for our show. I don't know when I did this. I have no idea what I did. But almost every day, I get anonymous tweets from women from England who are soccer fans, and a lot of them are rather scantily clad. And I'm like, and Mr. Ironhead, I'm terribly sorry. I'm marking all these gals to be blocked, blocked, blocked. Otherwise, we'd have 1,000 followers on X, and most of them would be English women's soccer fans, scantily clad.
Huh.
You want to take
yeah,
over
the Yeah, we Twitter? Certainly wouldn't want that.
You
want
to take over the Twitter feed? Holy moly. Now, Denise, you mentioned corporate communications. What is the, is that just emailing? What does that mean, corporate communications? Just public relations stuff?
Yes, it would be public relations. And we say corporate communication, but we mean communication that comes from a corporation, a nonprofit, some entity that's trying to communicate either with journalists, but with directly with their public. So if you see, communication in social media that originated with an organization of some sort, a corporation, even an advocacy group, that's the kind of communication we focus on a lot, because I think that's the kind of communication that we have to be very careful about, the ethics in that kind of in message distribution, because there's not a gatekeeper. You were talking about, you know, you've got editors in the journalism entity for the most part. I know it's shrinking to some degree, but you've got different levels of check and balance. In the corporate world, there's not necessarily that. And so it's really on the individual communicators and on the corporations or organizations to make sure what they're saying meets the highest standards of ethics, truthfulness, transparency, responsibility. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I went to your website again yesterday, and I lifted this line. It said, "Navigating today's complex media landscape." And my note after that was, "Pandora's box can't be closed." That was the note I wrote down. Jonathan, The pessimist in me says Pandora's box can't be closed.
I mean, in the terms of what we're talking about, I think, yeah, what's out of the box is out of the box. And I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of John and Vivian say, because I think it'll go along the lines of, how do you handle those things? What are the steps you need to do? Just to be aware that you might be dealing with disinformation or something that's AI made or something part of the algorithm. And how do you double check and how do you make sure what you're reading is true? And also, how do you find those sources that you can trust?
Well, the AI stuff in particular, I think, is going to be fascinating, because there are just
so many offshoots from that. And even, you know, we've been talking about it just from the unethical standpoint. Right now you can, and for a while, I mean, people have been able to edit together videos. It's like, oh my God, that person just said something absolutely horrible. Well, no, you took clips of, well, now with AI, I mean, it is getting really, really difficult to distinguish. All right, that is actually that person, or is this just a video? You talk about Pandora's box. I trying to get your head around that. It's like, well, no, I saw the video of this guy doing horrible things to that dog in that alligator. Right. It's like, well, no, that wasn't real.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, man, it just, again, hard to get your head around. And yes, there's going to be people that are doing it ethically, mm-hmm. using it right, and there's wonderful things like so many tools that we have out there. Large number of people be using it for good and the right way, but being able to distinguish between those that are using it for absolutely horrendous intentions, man, it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
Big time challenge.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be challenging to stay one step ahead of it for the public, just media literacy, like Jonathan was talking about before, but literacy around AI and knowing when to question something, using good critical thinking skills about what you're consuming, and then also our panelist, John Iwata, he's working mostly with businesses who are investing in AI. So it's a little bit different than these bad actors who are creating or using AI to just, you know, create this disinformation and chaos.
Yeah. All right, before we let you go, let's repeat this event next week. I don't know, Jonathan, maybe the date, the time,
sure.
What is this? Give us the background again.
So this is Finding Truth, Building Trust on April 23rd at 10 a.m. That's next Wednesday, a week from today. You can go to thepagecenter.org to sign up. It's free. It's all online. Suki Dardarian, formerly from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, will be moderating. We'll hear from John Iwata, formerly from IBM, now with Yale. He'll talk all about how AI fits into this whole thing. And Vivian Schiller from the Aspen Institute, and from the journalism perspective, we'll talk about how, from that side of things. So we hope everyone can join us. And like I said, there'll be time for Q&A. You can submit questions live. And there will be a recording available afterwards as well.
So, again, this is an online event. Right. Anybody can tune in from anywhere, but you need to register first.
Yep.
And that link is on the Page Center, thepagecenter.org. It's pretty prominent on the page, as I recall, so mm-hmm. it's not hard to find. Well, folks, I tell you what, thanks for coming in today.
Yeah.
Hopefully your endowment doesn't go anywhere, because you people and all the researchers tied to you are going to be extremely busy for the long foreseeable future.
That is for sure.
I mean, there should be no threats to your work, because you're going to be doing more of it, I think. So anyway, thanks again for coming in. We appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you both.
All right, let's take a break here. Folks, that sounds like a really fun event. Well, not a fun event, a very informative event.
Yep.
Yeah, algorithms and TikTok. I'm sorry, I'm an old guy. I don't do TikTok, all right? I'm still TikTok with goofy dances, except it's gone past the goofy dances now. Yikes. And who's watching this in Beijing? I don't know. We got to figure that out. Let's take a break. All right. We will have one more segment of Open Line Time. Folks, if you want to call in at that point, you can do it. Chime in. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. And we will come right back.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCormick has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks
Walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Get ready, Center County. Clearwater Pool and Spa is turning up the heat at this year's Bellefonte Cruise on June 13th and 14th with an incredible giveaway. We're giving one lucky winner a walk-in 735L hot tub by Hot Springs. This six-person luxury spa is designed for the ultimate relaxation experience. Featuring powerful massage jets for deep hydrotherapy, multi-zone LED lighting to set the perfect mood, energy-efficient smart jet technology to keep costs low, and of course, the trusted quality of Hot Springs Spas, the industry leader in comfort and innovation. Want to enter? Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall before the event or visit our booth at the Bellefonte Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to take home this premium hot spring hot tub. Make sure to check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit us in person at our Center Hall location where you can browse our full lineup of hot spring spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our Imagine Pools and our selection of fiberglass pools by Ocean Reef. Win big this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Bellefonte Cruise.
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball with the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area. You can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, printing and more printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Hi friends, Scott Giese here, and let's see, where can you get the latest on local high school and Penn State sports, talk on the hot news stories of the day, guests on lots of great topics, some laughs, and your phone calls. All right, let's see this. Sports, news, laughs, guests, phone calls. Oh yes, it's Let's Talk, weekdays 8 to 10 a.m. only here on 98.7 The Fox and streaming online at 987thefox.com. No other show like it. Join Jeff Byers and me for Let's Talk weekday mornings only on 98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open for the final segment. About 10 minutes remaining on the show today. 814-954-7266.
That was a great conversation.
Yep.
I tell you what, again, At first I was confused on who could be part of that event next week. Anybody can be. So it's 10 a.m.
Even Uncle Frank. Oh,
well.
Don't know that we should allow Uncle Frank to take part, but even Uncle Frank
can
take part.
Don't tell Uncle Frank.
Well, we try to, yeah. Oh, the number of things we try to keep.
Now, again,
Uncle
this is
Frank.
An online event, so it's 10 a.m. All right. That's going to be tough for some people. But if you register on their website, thepagecenter.org, look for the link on there. If you absolutely just can't make it at 10 a.m., sign up anyway.
Yep.
You give an email address, and later on, as Jonathan mentioned, they're recording, and you'll be able to watch the recording. Should be a very thought-provoking program or episode there, because I've got more examples here. Folks were surrounded by crap Okay, maybe I shouldn't have phrased it that way. We're surrounded by misinformation. All right, how about that? That work, Bill? For instance, I get this. This is hilarious. I get an email yesterday.
Did you?
Okay. And
again, I got an email, too.
How do some of these, well, this particular one, it's like, how did this person get my email address? Okay. I'll just read this. Not too long. It says, good day, friend. Now, as soon as I saw that.
Oh,
I thought,
look at that.
Okay.
A friend of yours reaching out. That's very nice.
Yes. From Africa. Okay.
Oh.
Good day.
You have friends all over.
And I'll mention the guy's name because he puts it in here. Good day, friend. I am Mr. Michael Bishop Adama, and I work with United Bank for Africa.
Oh, what a nice fellow. Yeah.
Then he says, can you use an ATM Visa card to withdraw money at ATM cash machines in your country?
Well, heck yeah. Of course we can.
Okay, I'm still reading.
Uh-huh.
I want to transfer money to you from my country.
Ooh.
It's part of money taken by some old politician that was forced out of power.
Oh, that old politician.
Yeah, we don't like those guys.
No.
I will change the account detail to yours and apply for a Visa card with your details in our bank.
Wow, this is wonderful.
Oh,
what a nice fellow.
It gets better.
Yeah.
They will send the Visa card to you, and you will be withdrawing money with it, and always send my own percentage of the money.
Oh.
And the money we're talking about is $9.5 million.
Hey, that's a pretty substantial amount of money.
From an old politician.
Wow, this is
that was forced out of power.
What an opportunity.
It says, whatever amount you withdraw daily, you will send 50% to me and you will take 50%.
Well, that's 50% for really doing nothing.
$9.5 million.
This is amazing.
Right. The Visa card and the bank account will be in your name. You can contact me with your private email ID. And then he gives a second email address, which is different from the original email address.
Well, I mean, you've got to have multiple email addresses.
Then it says, I will be waiting for your information as soon as possible. And then he asks me a bunch of questions. Your name, age, sex. Now, there I would just put in yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sign us up.
Country. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. You don't know where I'm from? Country. Occupation. This guy wants to know all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And my WhatsApp number. Now, WhatsApp is a messaging app, you know, like texting type app. Best regards from Mr. Michael Bishop Adama. Now, what do you think, Mr. Ironhead? Should I do this?
Oh, of course. What an opportunity. Yes. You could access over $4.5 million. This is wonderful. You've hit... Payday.
I've hit the pay dirt.
Oh, what an opportunity.
Thank goodness they had an old politician that was forced out, apparently a rich old politician that was forced out of power and I guess couldn't take the money with him.
And you found a new friend to boot.
Yes.
This is, what a day for you. This will go down as one of the great days in your life.
So if I get that money, no offense, you're doing this show alone.
Huh?
I'm sorry.
Well, I can understand. Again, you got an opportunity like that, you have to take advantage of it.
I mean, occasionally I get an email like this, I'm thinking, and somebody somewhere falls for this. Otherwise, I would assume they would stop doing it. Good day, friend. Like, okay, good day, friend. Then we have this one from CNBC from a few days ago. Now, we were talking about AI. Again, on the one hand, AI is exciting. On the other hand, AI is downright scary. All right? And this is apparently happening right now. Agents of foreign governments, of course, are trying to steal your data, trying to steal trade secrets, trying to steal whatever they can steal. And so what they're using is they're using AI and so-called deep fake software. Now, that's about making videos about people that's not really them, okay? And so they're using AI and deep fake software and applying for remote jobs. Now, think about it. Ever since COVID especially, there's a lot of remote jobs out there for all kinds of things, all right? A lot of companies had remote employees. They're trying to pull them back into the office now and struggling a bit at that. But they use AI and deepfake stuff to appear as perfect candidates for these jobs. All right. According to some research, by 2028, it says here, one in every four job candidates will be fake, not a real person. One out of four. So if you're a hiring person at a company, like, okay. So companies, maybe they're going to use research, like from the Page Center, to try to stop this stuff. According to the Department of Justice, this is almost hilarious. More than 300 companies have accidentally hired fake applicants from North Korea.
Oh, boy.
Do you want somebody from North Korea working with your company? Probably not. Okay. According to an expert told CNBC, quote, every time we list a job posting, we get 100 North Korean spies applying to it. Now, again, that's funny. Like, oh, come on. But it's not funny because some of these companies apparently have hired these people only to find out later where they're actually coming from. And it's only going to get worse. Now, folks, I don't mean to be the pessimist here, but I'm also a realist. This is only going to get worse. Now, again, AI talk shows. What do you think? And we get some supercomputer in the next couple of years that can actually carry on a conversation with you, and we could just program. We've got computers here in our studio.
Yep.
We could program it and just, like, flick the switch. We could sleep in. All right, we wouldn't even have to get up. And the AI computer, we could even make the AI computer sound like Jeff Byers.
Uh-huh.
And,
And yes.
Me. Okay. Yep. So it sounds like Jeff and it sounds like Scott, and we just throw the switch on the computer and it's good enough to hold a conversation. Of course, you know, I'm doing random stories here. You could go online, find random stories, you know, talk about them the same way I'm talking about it to you right now. And we just have computers talking to us, and that's what you listen to all day. Doesn't that sound great? Don't you want to sleep in? Come on, don't you want to sleep in? Wouldn't that be great? We could do a morning show, start at 5 a.m., except not.
Yeah.
All right? Folks, that's the world we're living in now. And so, again, this event next week, that's why I think this is an important event next week. Again, journalism, yes. The folks mentioned, you know, corporate communications and TikTok and all this extra, you know, social media stuff and so on. It's only going to expand more, and we're going to get more and more confused. And as we get confused, folks, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all. How do we get, I don't know, in front of this? How do we stop this so the North Korean spies stop applying for American jobs? All that sort of thing. And again, this is the deepfake stuff is especially insidious because you see a person. There he is.
Yes.
You see a person. And boy, it sure looks like that person, or it looks like a real person. I've seen something online which is fascinating. Somebody has done representations of ancient Rome or ancient Greece. And it looks like actual people, like walking down a street in Rome, and chariot races and all this. And it looks really good. It doesn't look like a cartoon. Looks like the real thing. Now, that's cool. Now, fake people trying to apply for jobs from North Korea? No. No. So, folks, I hate to depress you, but that's the future. Check out that event next week. Sounds like it could be really interesting.
Very,
very interesting. In the meantime, stay warm, warmer tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
Get that feeling. Get that feeling. This is the Fox.
Would you like to profit from sports?